You are listening to a podcast from Vineyard Church of Augusta. For more information, visit vineyardaugusta.org.
This morning, we've got a treat in that we've got sort of a tag team speakers. We believe in equipping here at Vineyard Church. My primary job as a pastor is not just doing ministry. My primary job is equipping others to do ministry, as I do it as well. And we've got two wonderful programs to help people get equipped to do the ministry of Jesus. And the first one is Vineyard Institute. This is an international distance learning program that's sponsored by the Association of Vineyard Churches. It's based out of Columbus, Ohio. It's led by a wonderful South African theologian, Derek Morphew, who is one of the foremost teachers on the kingdom of God in the world. And he leads this, this distance learning program for us called Vineyard Institute. One of the other iterations of it was Vineyard Leadership Institute, that I and a number, Kent, Don, and a number of people here in the church have graduated from. And so we're really thrilled to be able to offer that. And Lisa Frost, come on up, Lisa. Let's give Lisa a hand. Lisa's a leader in our church. Lisa has been enrolled in VI courses now for several years, and she's about to wrap this party up. And one of her assignments is to share a talk, to preach. And so I wanted to give her the opportunity to do that today. Lisa's an outstanding member of our congregation, church family. Why did you decide several years ago to do VI?
I had been leading, and after baptism, I really just wanted to grow. And I couldn't think of a better way to do it than to take the course.
And how have you found it to, has it met your expectations?
It's exceeded. I really have enjoyed this time spending with the professors and really just learning the theology of the word and the truth.
This is something that each quarter begins, every quarter you can begin classes. And if you'd like to learn more information about it, vineyardinstitute.org is the website. I would strongly encourage you to check it out, a wide spectrum of courses. That you can take one or multiples. You can work toward a certificate or just take a course because you want to take a course. And they're excellent. Many of the professors are PhD theologians and just really rich content. And this morning, Lisa's going to come and share with us. So again, Lisa Frost.
Thank you, Reese. So I've been attending the Vineyard for the last 7 years, and like I said, I had been leading and really kind of felt the call to dig a little deeper into the truth, and it was kind of my missing part. I'm like, I have loving people down. That's not hard for me to do, but I noticed in leading, I'm like, I'd really like to learn the nuts and bolts of this relationship with Christ. So as a part of my commitment to the Vineyard, they have this formal thing called praxis, which means putting what you learn into practice. So I took the homiletics course, and Reese just asked me to share a little bit about getting, you know, after celebrating Thanksgiving, getting our hearts ready to celebrate the expectancy of Christ coming. So please join me in praying. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let peace and justice reign. And may the joy of the Advent season be upon us as we welcome the celebration of Jesus. Amen. So after celebrating Thanksgiving and contemplating all that we do or don't have to be thankful for, we're about to celebrate Advent, which is our time of expectant waiting and preparation of the coming of Jesus. And so I started thinking, I'm like, what does that look like? What does that look like for you? And before you start thinking about the busyness of the holidays, we have Cyber Monday and children's pageants, Secret Santa, office parties, baking, Elf on the Shelf. I'm like thinking, what does that look like in your heart? And so I started thinking about all that I've learned and everything. So if you guys have your Bibles or your e-Bible, turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. In this parcel of scripture, Paul is imprisoned, and he's writing this letter to the Colossians on how to have a spiritual fullness in Christ. And I really couldn't think of a better passage. The Colossians at that time were struggling with ungodly influences from the Oriental mysticism, just heavily pervasive in their culture. And I was like, that's kind of what we go through today. You know, we have lots of things attacking us from many ungodly directions. And so the verse reads, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Paul sends this message to the Colossians, who were letting the culture of their time infiltrate their hearts. And I feel like that's kind of what we deal with on a daily basis. After I was baptized, I was changed. I mean, I was transformed, and I still had much learning, growing, and nurturing of my faith to do. But eventually, I started to participate and lead in small groups. And after I spent a couple of years leading, I just knew that there was something more to this relationship. And it was that the truth of the word of the Lord. And pursuing a certificate in biblical leadership has really provided me the knowledge in biblical theology, and the roots that have really planted me and challenged me in my thinking, and strengthening my faith, drawing me closer to the Lord. So the message that Paul is sharing to the Colossians is similar to my journey with the VI and nurturing and growing and preparing me for all that the Lord has in store for me. And accepting the gift of salvation is not like a one-and-done thing. It's about a lifetime of growing your relationship with him and learning new ways to serve him. And so one of the things that I've learned in the VI is the spiritual formation, which is a big fancy word for prayer and meditation. To me, it was always so complicated, and I just really didn't know what it meant. So they give you, over the course of the 4 years that I've been attending, really practical ways of practicing spiritual formation, which is just, again, prayer and meditation. So this semester was praying the verses Psalm 139, 23 through 24, which is, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." And for me, I struggle with anxiety, so this was, like, perfect. So I start my little exercise of praying, and I had a family member that was kind of weighing heavy on my heart, and I noticed I found myself throughout the day worrying about her. And so I was like, you know, I think that's what this exercise about is, you know, like, I'm feeling anxiety. I should really start praying for this person every time I think about them. And as soon as I started praying, I thought of the devotion that I had that day. And so the devotion that I use is Jesus Calling. And so I shared that devotion with my family member that was going through a real hard time. And they're like, "I don't really like religious stuff, but this is, like, really what I needed to hear today." And I was like, wow, so it's not even just about you and your relationship with Christ. It really, it's about what Christ is doing in you and throughout your life. So it looks all sorts of different ways, and that's the one thing that I've really liked about the VI. There's just been so many different ways I've learned to grow and connect. And it is a certificate, but in so many other ways, it's just that deeper relationship with Christ that, you know, looking at where I was and where I am now with him, it's been worth the investment. The other thing that I really had a hard time with is, you know, it's kind of a long time to go through, and it's, as I took each class, it is kind of relevant to my life. So I was doing healing 1 and 2, and I was really presented with some tough health and relational issues that really impacted my life. And I don't know if I hadn't embarked in the VI during that time that I would have been able to be victorious and felt the love and mercy of Christ like I did while I was going through these tough things. And it was just like the bonus on top of everything that I was going through. It really provided me a lot of comfort. So it's hard to think when you're signing up for this that, you know, a class could actually equip you with preparing you for what you're getting ready to go through. And the, another area that I've really enjoyed is the social justice classes. Right after Healing 1 and 2, I stepped into peacemaking, which focuses on Islam relationships, and it was all very culminating. At the time that I took it, I ended up having to go back to Michigan and care for my mom, who was having health issues in Dearborn, Michigan, which is the capital of Islam, and like of the Islamic people in the United States. It's most heavily populated. And I just personally found out that through Ancestry.com that I'm Middle Eastern. So it was just, it's just been this huge calling of the unification that needs to happen throughout our church and really seeing how broken relationships are in the world. And, you know, it's nothing I've ever even thought about until I actually enrolled in these classes. And then right from peacemaking, we moved on to reconciliation, which focused on the apartheid in South Africa. And that was just as equally impactful with everything that's going on in our culture. And amazingly enough, like the content of these courses is so relevant, and it even addressed what is going on in our world today as how it's written in the Bible, and the call really for the nation of unification that we as Christians are called to pursue. So I'm not really sure what all this is going to get me or where I'm going, but I really have enjoyed taking this time to kind of dial down and really focus on what God has for me and learning and getting closer to Him. So, in closing, I really hope that I've given you some ways to think about how maybe God has called you to prepare for your hearts, whether it be just time to pray or meditate to prepare your heart for Christ's coming. And, you know, maybe the VI is for you or maybe not, but maybe you can just take some time to really, like there's Advent handouts back there, to really prepare your heart and just spend some time with Him. So, and to just challenge you in thinking, how will you draw close to Him during this season, and in what areas will you develop your spiritual fullness in Christ? Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. So, yeah, I want to underscore what she mentioned. We have some Advent devotionals that we're going to be using for the Advent season back at the Welcome Desk. Please pick one up. They're free of charge. I want to bring up Joel Schrader. Joel is a student in School of Kingdom Ministry, and this is a 9-month program that kicked off back in September, so it's in our season right now, but we'll be offering another School of Kingdom Ministry beginning in September of 2018. Joel, why did you decide to do School of Kingdom Ministry when you heard about it?
Well, it's kind of right up my alley with just inviting the kingdom to come. I've done several things where we've been trying to get trained on hearing from the Lord with prophetic words and just focus on the spiritual gifts and he praying for people. That's a desire in my heart to get out and pray for people and see people healed.
Now, have you been in the course now for a couple of months? How are you liking it?
Oh, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. We every week we have a video that we watch, we talk about it, and then we have an activation where we get out, where we practice with each other and stuff and just take time to pray. And also, or we've seen some great things happen in class, and then praying for people during ministry time and just hearing the feedback from words that we've been given or just seeing people healed. It's been really incredible.
Well, Joel's got a lot of cool things happening in his life. In addition to School of Kingdom Ministry, he's a professional wakeboarder. Yes. I got to witness at his wedding reception down at the boathouse along the Savannah River. He and his bride go down the Savannah River on a wakeboard in his tuxedo and her in her wedding dress. And then he did a flip over her, a somersault over her, landed, did not get a splash of water on him. They come up to the dock right next to the boathouse at the Augusta Rowing Club, completely dry. Just pretty impressive. So I'm already impressed with with Joel, but... But after hearing this morning, you're going to be impressed, too. So let's give it up for Joel.
All right. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I just want to say that it's a real privilege to get together with you guys every Sunday, just with worship and stuff and just inviting the Holy Spirit to come. It's just such a powerful thing week after week after week, and I just want to, I'm thankful for you. You know, we're in that the Thanksgiving season, so just reflecting on things that I'm thankful for, and that's a real big one. But let's pray before I get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather here. Lord, we thank you that your presence is with us. And Holy Spirit, just come and move amongst this congregation. God, just touch our hearts today. And Lord, I just pray that as I'm up here, that I would decrease and that you would increase. Lord, let not my voice be heard, but that you would just speak through me. And God, I just pray for each of the lives out there that you would just touch it. Lord, that we would not leave here the same as we came. God, that we would leave a changed people, more on fire for you, and that we would go out and just have an effect on this world. So, Lord, just be with this time, bless this time, and in Jesus' name, amen. So, as Reese said, my name is Joel Schrader. My wife back there is Renee. We've been married 4 years this August. We have two girls, Reagan, who's 12, and Riley, who is 9. We've been attending the Vineyard now for about 5 years, and this particular Thanksgiving, it was a little bit more different than others in the past. But before I get to that, I'd like to just share part of my journey that led up to this point, which made it so special. I'd like to start with Romans 8:28, where it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purposes." And so our story, it starts off great, and then there's a struggle in the middle, and then it ends with God's goodness and faithfulness in our lives. So I'm sure some of you kind of did the math and saw that our children are older than the years we've been married, and that's because I married into a family. It started when Reagan was 6 years old. I was hired as her wakeboard coach. We did a few lessons, and I ended up falling in love with her beautiful single mother. And as you can guess, what happened next? And that's I quit getting paid for those wakeboard lessons. So here we fast forward a couple of years. We got married, and God put the desire on both of our hearts to have more children. And a year or so into that, nothing had happened. We thought that maybe we should start getting some prayer. So we've had our small groups pray for us. During ministry time, we had prayer. I was involved in a men's Bible study, and I had that group praying for us as well. And still nothing was happening. A few months passed, and we decided that maybe we should go see a doctor and just see what's going on. We took some tests, had some results, took more tests, had some results, and sure enough, the doctor tells me that I'm not able to have children naturally, apart from a miracle from God. And as soon as I heard that news, it just seemed like there was a 1950s baby boom all over again just around me. Everybody I knew was getting pregnant. Their friends were getting pregnant. Co-workers were getting pregnant. Relatives were getting pregnant. And so it was just in my face all the time. And I got to tell you that I was really happy for Alvin because I know what it would mean to me to have a child. And so I was super happy for them. But at the same time, I'd be lying if I didn't say that envy and jealousy grew in my heart during that time. I asked a lot of questions to God, and it was just kind of a time where I struggled. It was a season, though, that God taught me several things. Like I said, I was in a Bible study, and we were going through Genesis, and I was just reminded that just to be patient, and Abraham, it took him 91 years before he was given his son. So my couple of years didn't really seemed to make a mark in light of that. And God, he also reminded me that he is good regardless of the circumstances around me. I was reminded that he sees the big picture. He sees outside of time, and I only have this narrow view of what's right in front of me. And so I learned to trust him more in that. And anyone that knows our family, they know that even though those girls and I don't share the same biology, they were my girls. Emotionally, you know, there's a connection there that, that couldn't be broken. And correction from last service, I guess I felt like it was a lot longer than it really was, but it was only about a year ago that the privilege arose that I got to adopt those girls as my own. So everything in light of that was kind of coming in full circle. Not that they weren't already mine, but now they were really going to be mine. So July 13th, this summer, I got to adopt them. And this was my first Thanksgiving as a dad and not a stepdad anymore. Yeah. So yeah, as you can see, this Thanksgiving, I had a whole lot more to be thankful for than maybe others past. But if we just keep with that theme of adoption, I invite you to open up your Bibles to Ephesians 1. We're going to read verses 3 through 8 with an emphasis on verse 5. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding." And there's a ton there to be thankful for. And it's really awesome to think that the creator of this world, the creator of the universe, the king of all kings, he wants to adopt us through his son, Jesus Christ. In verse 5 at the end, it says it gave him great pleasure to do so. And, you know, it's just surprising because if we flip to the next chapter in chapter 2, Paul talks about just in our very nature, we were subject to God's anger. And then in James 4, he writes more about how before Christ, we were friends of this world and enemies of God. So knowing that, and knowing that in our brokenness, in our flaws, our weakness, our selfishness, in our daily falling short of his glory, he still wanted us. He still wanted us to be his children. And now that's really something to be thankful for. And this Thanksgiving, I got a whole new perspective of what that meant because I experienced that with my kids. And how much more does our Heavenly Father feel that for us? And I'd just like to invite anyone who doesn't know that love yet, who hasn't been adopted, just talk to somebody. Please don't leave here today without talking to somebody. There's going to be a group of us up here in a minute, and we would love to talk more with you about that. We'd love to pray for you. And I would like to close with this. It's Philippians 4, verse 6. And it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done."
Lisa, you want to join us? Great job, guys. Thanks so much for sharing this morning.